Hello, I'm Father Tim O'Brien. The following homily was delivered at the Ignatius House Jesuit Community in Baltimore, Maryland, on the third Sunday of Lent, March 15th, 2020. The day before, the Archdiocese of Baltimore announced that all public masses have been suspended for the time being to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. Global claims tend to make me a little bit uncomfortable, but here's one I think we can all get behind. The week that just ended was a peculiar and unsettling one for all of us. Our usual routines of life, of work, of study have been interrupted, violently even. We have had our collective vulnerabilities thrust before our eyes, each one of us because of the invisible threat of a potent virus that we can catch or transmit. We know that many of our colleagues, our family members, and our friends have felt the very real impact this crisis has had on their work, on our economy, on their investments and livelihood. And this is to say nothing about the unsettling prospect that many teachers, including those in this house, have faced with courage, learning how to teach a class online, for instance, when you've only recently mastered PowerPoint. Now, you all know that my expertise, such as it is not in medicine, science, or public health, and I won't pretend otherwise. I'm a graduate student in history, and I spend most of my time in the 16th and 17th centuries thinking about religion and culture. And the people and the questions I study can often feel remote and difficult to connect with. But not this week. And not last week. A church keeps coming to my mind, one that all of you will probably have seen pictures of, and some of you may have even visited. It is in the city of Venice, in Italy, a place that once again finds itself under threat from disease, and it's called Santa Maria della Salute, literally Our Lady of Health. It was built during a wave of plague in the late 17th century, one that claimed the lives of about one-third of the local population. There are many differences between us and early modern people, not least in how we understand the transmission of epidemic disease. But if this experience of the coronavirus has taught us anything, it is that we can relate to some of the risk and uncertainty that our forebears knew as they faced serious and mysterious diseases. Praying over these last few days, I've been struck by the resonance of our current personal experience with our current liturgical experience in this season of Lent. Both have boiled down to an encounter with our vulnerability and what we do with it. We are living in a moment when people are frenzied to, quote, get ready for this virus, all the while knowing somewhere that uncertainty remains no matter how much hand sanitizer, soap, or toilet paper we have stockpiled. We cannot do it ourselves, and we may find ourselves at that point in Lent where we have experienced some failure in our Lenten resolves, or have come face to face again with some pattern of sin or brokenness in our lives that we may feel powerless to fix on our own. We need God's grace to turn our minds and our hearts. We cannot ensure our own health and well-being. We need a Savior. That is why this Sunday's readings are indeed good news. We are shown again who our God is, one who offers real water in real deserts in the first reading, one who gives the living waters of eternal life in our gospel reading of the woman at the well, a God who is concerned for our bodily health and our spiritual salvation, a reality captured in so many languages by just one word, salus in Latin, salud in Spanish, salut in French, or as in Venice, salute. That God will feed us again, body and soul, around this table, in this time of uncertainty. and let us turn to our Lord in faith and in confidence, as so many have before us in this time of darkness.